Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now.
All right. Thanks for joining us. We're going to roll straight into questions. If you have a question for William Byron, please raise your hand, and we will start with questions for William. We're going to go to our first question with Mark Garrow. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you. William, -4 going into Bristol. How do you feel about that? How disappointed are you to go in there below the cutoff line?
I mean, it is what it is. You know, we ran horrible tonight, and no excuse for that. It was really kind of a slow death the entire race, so we'll go to Bristol and regroup for that one.
Are you surprised you're in this position? You thought you'd be in a better place?
No, I mean, we knew Richmond was our biggest struggle of the playoffs. I mean, I think that, you know, the first time I came here, it seemed like things were pretty good, and then last year we really struggled here, and we obviously didn't really improve. So disappointing, and you know, we just have to kind of put this one behind us and go to Bristol. I think we've ran okay at Bristol. I think top 10 in the spring, made the All-Star race. So I think we just have to go there and hopefully have a good run.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Bob Pockers. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, William, does the experience of bouncing back at Dover at the day after having a bad race give you any confidence of being able to bounce back from this?
I mean, not really, just because I feel like, you know, we had a chance to work on the car the second day and improve. You know, when you miss it, you miss it. You know, there's no practice. There's nothing really to identify with. And we knew pretty early on in the race that we were – in trouble. You know, I think we lost like 10 spots in 10 laps, basically, it felt like. So I mean, when you're in that position, you just try to change it up as a driver, try to do different things, you know, move your brake levers, stuff like that. But I think going to Bristol, it's a track that we can have a good setup at, and you know, I think we've ran decent there in the past, so we can hopefully look at that.
Thank you.
Okay, next question for William will be Jeff Gluck. Jeff Gluck, go ahead.
Yeah, William, I hear you say you obviously struggled tonight, but what happened? I mean, what went wrong for you guys that you guys just didn't have it?
I mean, it seemed like every time that we entered the corner with any sort of brake pressure at all, we were pretty much locking the left front and sliding it across the track. So we were really tight in. You know, typically you're loose in here, and we were extremely tight into the corner. And, you know, locking the left front up and having to get off the brake as quick as possible to keep the front tires turning. And that just doesn't make a lot of speed. And any time that we tried to go any faster than that, we just were killing the front tires off the car. So pretty much just had to run around there about 80% most of the time and try to have something for the end of a run. But, you know, typically we just fell off like a rock at the end of each run that we had to run out to our pit stop. So, but no cautions. I mean, it's kind of is what it is.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next question will be Dustin Long. Dustin, go ahead.
A couple things. William, first off, just how surprised were you that the only cautions were the competition caution and the stage breaks?
I mean, I think it's expected at Richmond. I think, you know, we are sliding around a lot, but because we're sliding around so much, it's kind of expected every lap that you're going to slide around, you know, tax the rear tires on exit. Everyone in the field did a good enough job to manage that. And, you know, you're not going to see a lot of cautions when everyone kind of knows that grip is low and you're just out there racing your car. You can't really battle anybody for a position that hard because you're that low on grip. So it's just the way this track is, and it's fun as a driver, but it obviously has very little cautions because of it.
Obviously, with the way the playoffs are, it can be, you know, for some drivers, certain rounds are better than others because of how they match up or how their teams match up. And obviously, as you mentioned, this was going to be a tough race for you and just the whole organization. How did you go into this, the playoffs, and how important was the Darlington because of what the potential roadblock that was here?
Yeah, I mean, it was important. You know, I think we did pretty much our job there. We finished top five. You know, I felt like we missed out on some stage points, you know, but yeah, I mean, we knew this track was going to be tough. I mean, last year we saved ourselves in this round with the Roval, qualifying on the pole and finishing sixth. So, yeah, we don't really have that to lean on this much, that much this year. So we have to perform at Bristol. So definitely our toughest round. You know, I'd like to say if we could get through this round, the rest of the playoffs would be great. But, you know, we're here and this is what we got to do.
Thank you.
All right, William, we appreciate your time, and that's it for today.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, Clint, can you hear us?
Yeah.
All right, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We're going to roll straight into questions, and our first question will come from Mark Garrow. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you, Clint. You're plus four, going to Bristol, five straight top tens, a runner-up earlier this year. How confident are you of moving on now since you're going to a racetrack with that kind of pedigree for you and your team?
Yeah, I mean, time being, you know, frustrated with tonight. It was a challenge. We struggled all night long. We were just off the beat. But at the end of the day, we're still in it. We got to go to Bristol and perform. Like the racetrack, you know, we got some top tens going, and we're definitely better, but we've got to be great next week. We can do it. That's a good track for us and a lot of fun, and, you know, track that I feel like I could win at someday. So there's nothing to be scared about going to a track like that. Just got to go there and have fun with it like you always do on a short track, and race our asses off, and hopefully that'll be enough.
Since you've run twice at Bristol this year, do you think you guys got a pretty good idea? You know, here at Richmond, you kind of roll off. You haven't raced here at all this year, but you've raced twice at Bristol. How much does that, or is that going to help you because you've done that?
You know, I don't know. I mean, obviously, we have ran on the short tracks as good as I'm accustomed to running. We've got to find something, but we can't panic and shoot ourselves in the foot either. We just got to to go to Bristol and have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, bud.
Okay, our next question will be Jeff Gluck. Jeff Gluck, go ahead.
Yeah, Clint, what is it about Richmond that, you know, there weren't any cautions tonight except for the stage breaks? Why does it race like that?
My opinion is the tire. I think it was it's something's not meshing with the track. You look out there on the racetrack and all night long, it's had a lot of racing on it this weekend, and it looks like a highway out there. It wasn't putting any rubber down on the track, they got to do a better job of that. That's unacceptable as far as I'm concerned. I'm a fan of this sport, and we're going to ask fans to come back here one of these days. We've got to put a better show on than that. We can't have it run there lap after lap after lap with no cautions. Something's got to change here. And first thing I'd change if I owned it would be the tire.
Thank you.
Okay, the next question will come from Bob Pockers. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, Clint, you're not a stranger to this position on the bubble. What's the keys to getting through it?
I just do the best you can. Don't make mistakes. We've cleaned a lot of those mistakes up that I spoke of going into the playoffs, and we're still in this thing. But for me, it's nerve-wracking or whatever, but it's also fun. Fun to feel that way. Keeps you, keeps you alive. I mean, that's what racing's all about. That's what competition's all about. You go into a weekend and it's just no big deal. Hell, that ain't any fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
OK, Okay, we're going to take one final question for Clint from Mitchell Brewer. Go ahead, Mitchell. Mitchell, do you have a question?
Going into Bristol with being in the position that you're at, do you go in there trying to be safe or do you go for the win?
You always go for the win, bud. If you're in contention, you always go for a win. I've never went to a racetrack thinking I couldn't win. The day that happens, the day you won't see me anymore.
All right, Clint, we appreciate you joining us. Safe travels home and best of luck in Bristol.
Thank you.
All right, Cole, we have you. Thanks for joining us. We're going to go straight into questions. If you have a question for Cole, please raise your hand within the Zoom platform so that we can get to questions. And who would like to start us off with a question for Cole? Okay, Dustin Long, we're going to go to you. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Cole, how does this experience in the playoffs and the pressure compare to what you've been used to with the Xfinity Series and kind of, you know, now as you go into this situation at Bristol?
It's definitely intense. I mean, for sure. Honestly, I think it's a little bit less intense than normal just because you don't have the practice and the qualifying. You don't have all of those intense moments throughout a weekend. So now it's just kind of, you got the race and it kind of is what it is, you know, it is what it is, how it's going to unload and what's going to happen that first lap. So there's only so much that you can stress about. You got to do your homework and you got to make sure that you are prepared when you go to the racetrack and that you're ready to adapt to what the car is going to bring you. But there's not as many places that you can mess it up, I guess, during a weekend. So it's, you know, at least you have that. But the hard part is that of the unknown of not knowing what you're going to have.
And obviously, I know you've talked this season and the rookies have just about how difficult the challenge has been with no track time, certainly no track time before this race. But next week at Bristol, you've run there now twice this season. So how might that help you to kind of close the gap in terms of just experience on the track with a cup car with your situation and the points?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely nice to go back to a track that, you know, you've raced twice at, you kind of try a couple different things. At the same time, we definitely like a practice for, you know, us rookies that we could try some things, I think. But at the same time, I mean, we should, you know, hopefully have a little bit of a notebook that we can try and bring our best piece back to Bristol. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously, you know, in this, you know, day and age with no practice or anything, you got to hit it perfect pretty much when you unload off the truck. So if not, you're just kind of scratching and crawling and clawing for everything that you got throughout the day. And it's very hard to hit it right, you know, when you don't have that practice to kind of dial a thing in.
Thank you.
Okay. Our next question will come from Mark Garrow. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you. Cole, how do you assess your situation going to Bristol? You're single digits behind. Below the cutoff line, I think it's 8 points. Just how do you assess just where you're at going into that cutoff race?
I mean, we're not in a desperate position. I mean, we're in a position where we can control a lot of what happens. And if we have a good day and run good and get stage points, we can point our way in, you know, and it also depends on how the guys around us run, but a little bit. But I feel like, you know, if we have a good day out of Bristol, we can get ourselves into the next round. So it's, I think we're not in a bad spot. It's still manageable.
So how do you look at this right now? If you don't get out of round one, is it still a successful season? Or now that you're in the playoffs, you'd be more disappointed by the fact you don't get to go on to the next round?
I know I'm not going to be happy. You know, it's if you get knocked out of the playoffs at any point, you're not going to be happy with it. But you know, we can probably look back and hang our heads, you know, high on, you know, whatever we've accomplished this year and how far we've come. But, you know, when you're a competitor and that's what we do, I mean, you want to go out there and, you know, I feel like we've grown enough as a team throughout this year. And I think we've shown it, you know, in these last two races, like we can, you know, when we hit it right, we can go and compete with these guys. It's just a matter of getting that extra little bit of running towards the, you know, in the top five or so. And if you can do that, you know, that moves you on to the next round, and we just got to find that at Bristol.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Bob Pockers. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, Cole, I mean, I might say that you kind of entered these playoffs with nothing to lose, but now that you're kind of close to advancing to the second round, or starting to feel any, a little bit more nervous or a little bit more pressure? Like, oh my gosh, I've got a shot here.
You know, I mean, I'm sure when we get to Bristol and we're about to take the green, I'm going to be pretty nervous because that's going to be a really hectic race that a lot can happen, obviously. But at the same time, I think I've learned that, you know, in these playoff situations, you know, being nervous and stressful is not going to help you. You got to make sure you have a plan and make sure you're just study your butt off coming into that, in that race, so you know what you're going to be thrown into. The hard part that you stress about is just the unknown. Like I said, you just, you don't know what you're going to have that first lap. So you just hope that you hit it right. And if you don't, you try and manage it the best you can and figure out how you can help it.
Thank you.
Okay, Cole, we appreciate you joining us. Best of luck in Bristol. And that's all the questions we have for tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we appreciate you joining us. We will go ahead and get started with questions. We have several already in the queue, and we're going to take our first question from Jeff Gluck. Jeff Gluck, go ahead.
Yeah, Austin, I mean, I think I'm a lot among a lot of people that didn't see this coming from you guys at all. So was there anything coming into the playoffs that you saw that you thought, okay, well, I can go reel off my first back-to-back top fives in my career. I can go into the elimination race in the first round up 30-whatever points. I mean, is this beyond your expectations, or did you think this was possible?
You know, I mean, I felt, you know, our team has really kind of turned the corner the last couple of weeks, and felt like RCR as a whole's had speed all year. And between myself, Justin, our engineer, Billy Scott, spotter Brandon, and everybody in the shop, our mechanics, we've got a really good team. And we've shown a lot of speed this year and didn't get some of the finishes that we deserve just because of, I mean, I go back to Martinsville, another short track, and I blew a right rear. And I came from dead last like four times inside the top five and never went a lap down until I overheated. And it's, you know, I just think that some of the short tracks, we didn't get to show what we really had this year. So, I mean, that was when we saw the three short tracks in the first round, I was pretty confident. Darlington, we did work a little on a newer setup. After the first two races, we felt that we were okay, needed to get a little better, and really just put in a little extra time. And, you know, starting positions, a lot of that too, you know, we've been able to start further forward being in the top 16. And, but Richmond, I've always felt like that was what we circled to come win in this playoff run. I had 2 6th place finishes, over the past, you know, three races there, and never got to start up front. We kind of come from the back, and, tonight we brought something similar to that, and it was good. And just, you know, I wish I wouldn't have had the speed and penalty, but we overcame that. I'm not really worried about that. We overcame the speed and penalty, but just I should have been a little more patient getting the pit road there, trying to drag everybody down and cost us a little bit of time. But either way, what a night for our team. And, yeah, you know, I think I've been pretty confident in this team all year, and now it's starting to show more and more just because we're getting the finishes.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thanks. I had a couple questions. You, Austin, you talked before the playoffs about seizing the moment, living the moment, and take advantage of the situation. So now that you're in that moment, what is this like?
Feels great. You know, I just want to stay in it, stay in the moment. You know, we're in a good – good spot here, and the more and more people start talking about you, the pressure builds, but we're just going to stay in our zone, you know what I mean? It's nice to be getting interviewed every week and people starting to notice us, but yeah, I'm just going to try and stay in the zone. I've been in this situation before, whether it be Truck Series, Xfinity Series, but just want to keep knocking down these finishes. You know, I've been I'm in a good spot right now. My family's doing well, and it's cool having a son at home, and feel like I've matured as a driver, and I'm in that age zone where things start clicking a little bit. You know, you notice a bunch of these guys when they start getting a little older in age, when stuff starts coming to them really well. And you know, some people do it faster than others, but it's a good time right now for me and the three team and everybody at RCR. So just like I said earlier, I want to keep seizing the moment. We get these opportunities to start up front, collect as much as we can. And, you know, I'm not disappointed. It was unbelievable. Top fives back to back, but that car was pretty impressive tonight. So, you know, definitely could have finished second and had a shot at Brad. I feel like we weren't that great in the short run, but long run speed, I don't think anybody had much for us.
Also, as you well know, in these playoffs, it's, you know, taking advantage of every opportunity, minimizing the mistakes, the pit road speeding penalty. And I ask that because I think that's the sixth pit road speeding penalty this year for you, which is more than any of the other playoff drivers. Is that a concern and something that's kind of being repeated for a particular reason? Or, you know, as everything gets broken down in these playoffs, certainly that's kind of a glaring issue there for you and your team.
Yeah, you know, we definitely will circle it and look at it. But, you know, in the past, I've been pretty solid on pit road and minimizing mistakes. And I don't know why we got that one tonight. I was a little bit I just have to look back at repeat the lights and look at it when we get back to the shop. But I didn't feel like I was pushing anything. But, you know, the good thing is to having a car like we had tonight to be able to recover from. And I've seen Denny Hamlin get, I feel like, 100 pit speeding penalties and be able to make it back up through the front. And tonight we were that guy and been able to drive back to second by the end of that stage. That was pretty impressive. So we definitely got to clean it up, but it's not a worry of mine. I've been able to do pretty well on pit road. I think some of my pit speeding penalties this year came from damage too, just trying to get off pit road.
Thank you.
Okay, next question, Bob Hockers. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, Austin, I mean, I know you've run well this year, but is there any part of you that's like, where did this come from?
I think it's, I'm not sure. Sorry. You still there?
Yep.
Sorry. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think we've just steadily gotten our stuff better and we've got a really good group working hard. You know, our RCR's got all hands on deck, ECR engines, everything's good, but you know, I've had confidence in myself my entire career. You know, I've been through some ups and downs and kind of weathered the storm to this point. And always felt like when I've given something to work with, I can perform with it and make it happen. So the confidence from my side is there. But yeah, I mean, it's a little surprising, you know, I mean, it's just been great to have fast race cars. And, but for me, I know that when given that opportunity, I feel like our team, as a group, will step up, and even the pit crew, you know, those guys have done a good job over the last 2 weeks being up front in a place where even they haven't been much used to that. And that's the biggest thing. The more opportunities you get up front, you start feeling comfortable up there and the confidence just keeps growing, and you expect to be up there and you drive to that caliber. There's always another level to get to. And I feel like that's where we're at right now at RCR in the three team.
And I mean, coming into the playoffs, I think a lot of people thought, well, you know, whatever happens in the playoffs is kind of gravy for you, or icing on the cake, whatever cliche you want. Did you look at it that way, or is there a certain spot in the, as far as advancing, that you felt like that this team really needs to do to kind of show its worth?
You know, I mean, my whole goal since I've been in the Cup Series is trying to win a Cup championship. There are certain places I feel like I'm better at. I feel like our team's better at that we circle to really take advantage of. And some of the races in the playoffs are really good for us. So we're just going to take this opportunity, seize it, like I said earlier, beginning of this deal. And I don't know. I feel like we're in a really good place. And, you know, everybody's pushing hard. You know, my teammate Tyler Reddick coming in this year was another big part of everything. Just getting, we have two drivers that are fired up, and it's cool to see. And I don't know what else. I feel confident that we can go a long way. You know, obviously the second round is a little bit of a crapshoot, I feel like, but we got to really take advantage. We got to get to the second round. Yeah, I got Bristol next. We got one race at a time, but after that you got Vegas, and then Talladega Roval, and that's where I got to step up and get us to the third round, because the third round is a place that every one of those tracks, the three team can do well at. Texas, we've won at Martinsville. I'm telling you, if we go back there, I feel like the same performance, similar performance that we had tonight. So I just want to get to that third round. That's the key to us, and I feel like we'll be in a great place to try and be in that final four. You know, I think upset a lot of brackets.
Thank you.
Okay, our next question will come from Mark Garrow. Go ahead, Mark.
Hello?
Mark, I think you're on mute.
Yeah, let's try it again.
Now we can hear you.
There we go. First off, congratulations on another great run. Do you find yourself smiling at all when now you've got people on TV going like, wow, look at them. They're going to go into the second round. And these are guys that didn't have you moving on in their initial brackets or were kind of dismissing this team. Do you smile a little bit inwards or outwards at some of these naysayers?
I'm so focused on, there's no time to smile right now. You know what I mean? We got work to do. When you got, it's very hard to do what we're doing right now in the Cup Series. My career, it's been very hard when I've gotten in the Cup Series to get to this point. I don't take anything that I've learned over time for granted. So I want to smile. I want to be happy, but you know, I mean, it's one of those things. I want to take advantage of it. Like, I want to win races. I've seen guys reel off lots of wins in their career, and I want to be one of those guys that gets to that point where I've got 20 wins, and then you start smiling, and then it's gravy, I feel like. But I haven't, and I've got a long way to go, so I haven't been able to take it in. It feels good. You know, obviously running good feels good. Everybody around the whole company's pumped up, excited, and I love when I see that at RCR, and because it's truly a family atmosphere. I got people texting, calling, just, you know, do whatever it takes to make this deal happen for us. So it's fun to see, but as far as me smiling, I feel like I owe it to everyone at our company to keep on grinding and make it further.
You said before the playoff that, you know, some of these people that, you know, don't necessarily give you all the credit is part of what fuels you. So you still have that fuel. Now you have building confidence. I mean, is this a kind of a snowball effect with those two things working at the same time for you?
Yeah, I truthfully believe in momentum, and I believe in, you know, what we got going on. I've already had text messages from a lot of people that said, man, they're finally talking about you. It's cool to see, and heard we got a lot of love tonight. I'm glad to hear it. I hope I can keep giving them something to talk about. And it feels great. But yeah, I kind of lost the rest of your question.
Well, I'm just saying is right now you said the fuel was some of these naysayers.
But oh, okay.
You also have this confidence, right? So is that kind of adding two fuels together in this process?
Yeah, the confidence is building. And then I think the other confidence and the fuel from the naysayers, I mean, they know, I feel like a lot of people know that we're here right now. And even if I get knocked out eventually, the naysayers are going to say, I told you so. So I'm kind of past all that. But my confidence comes from within my group. I'm so proud of the team that I've got surrounded by around me. And I believe in them so much that when we unload, like, I'm not even worried. I mean, I'm not going into the race worrying if it's going to turn when I go into turn one. And I think that's huge is because we have no practice, no qualifying, that those guys are giving me the confidence to go out each and every week and drive the wheels off the car. And if I don't have the feedback for them, they can look at the data, work together to give me adjustments on the car to make it better. Between the four of us that are talking on the radio, the three of us talking on the radio, we do a good job of getting what we need in that car by the end of the race.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, our next question will come from Dustin Albino. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Austin, I know you've won three races at the Cup level. Tonight you led a career high 55 laps, came from the back a couple of times. Would you say this is the best car you've ever had in Cup?
Pretty damn good one. I'd say yeah. I mean, it was a blast to drive, and I've only had cars in the truck and Xfinity series like that, I'd say. Yeah, that'd be the best one. And it was that good at Martinsville. We just didn't get to show it. So I can't wait to bring it back out and run it again. But we've got a couple bullets at RCR right now. The Texas Wind car is a good one for us, so it's still sitting there ready to go.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take our next question from Davey Siegel. Go ahead, Davey.
Hey, Austin, kind of going off of Mark's question, I mean, I know that you said that the doubters and the haters kind of fuel you. So I know probably not under green flag conditions, you're thinking like, wow, we're really showing them. But like when you have a second to reflect under caution or when you get out of the car tonight, like does a thought like that ever cross your mind? Like, wow, I'm glad we're proving people wrong.
No, I'm just looking at all the people that give me love, the people that are there for me. And I got 75 text messages for a fourth place finish. That's pretty good, I feel like. And people that have always been there for me. So I haven't even opened Twitter or any of that. But no, the people that have always supported me and given me love, that's the ones you got to focus on. I feel like that's in any good business. You have to, you can't spend too much time focusing on the people that bring you down. You got to spend 80% on the people that are good around you and give those people what they need to keep on making yourself better. And that is kind of what I believe in.
Thanks.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Sterling with KCOU. Go ahead, Sterling.
Thank you. Austin, congrats on the great run tonight. Forgive me if this question's already been asked. I came in a little bit late, but the progress that you and RCR as a whole have made this season is definitely something to be noted. What do you have to say about just the improvement that both your team and what Tyler Reddick's team have had this season?
Well, it's definitely not easy to turn a big boat like we have at RCR from last year to this year. I think the biggest thing is some of the momentum we took from the last couple races of last year when we had a decent couple races at the end of the year, and we tried to build off that in the off season, just make smarter decisions on what we were bringing to the track, and then to the changes that were made. You know, Justin coming over to our team is a no-brainer. He's just been an awesome asset, and everybody's scrappy. You know what I mean? We got a good team that wants to work and it pays attention to detail. That's a lot of this sport, is paying attention to detail, seeing little things that can make you better. And then when all those things add up, you see what happens tonight. We had a good run.
Thanks, Austin. Good luck next week.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take our next question from Jonathan Field. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, Austin. Jonathan Field from racingexperts.com. Early on in your career, you sort of struggled at Richmond, didn't get great results, but lately you've been doing really well. Now three top 10 finishes in the last four races. What has allowed you to really improve at the racetrack?
Richmond used to be my least favorite track of every racetrack in our circuit. I hated it. I couldn't do it good in it in the Xfinity. I led some laps there one race in Xfinity, and I still fell back by the end of the race. I literally hated this place. And now it is my favorite. I circle it. I don't know what the flip was. I mean, I do kind of. I mean, we had a test here, and I think I just found something in setup and me, and we've just kind of run that ever since, and I've kind of just been really consistent. If I can find something, I usually can put it in my brain and luckily do it multiple times, and that was the biggest thing, is just I had one test here that was good. And ever since then, it's been a good place for us.
Thank you, Austin.
Same way with Charlotte. I don't know. I had bad races there. We had one test a long time ago and it helped me.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, Austin, we appreciate you joining us. Congratulations on a solid run tonight and best of luck next week in Bristol.
Thanks, guys. You guys have a good one.
All right, you too. Safe travels home.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to join us. We're now joined by our third place finisher, Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford for Team Penske. Joey, can you talk us through your run and what it was like out there?
Yeah, just third place. That's about where we were today. Had a pretty good car and thought early in the race we were a couple adjustments away from being where we needed to be. And just seemed like as the track kept going on, it got a little bit tighter, and every time we tried to fix that, we got a little bit looser off. So it's kind of pick your poison. You want to be loose off or do you want to have turn? And that was the biggest challenge we had tonight. But we did what we had to do. We scored stage points and you know, a couple third places in a row. So we've picked it up during the playoffs. I feel good about that. Got to keep the ball rolling here. Feel good about where we're at for Bristol. And you know, you can top three, top five, all the way to Phoenix if we keep doing this. So want to get wins, want to get more playoff points in the bank for sure. But you know, overall, we're doing what we got to do, and you know, we'll keep plugging away with our Shell Penzo Mustang.
Awesome. Well, we're going to open up the floor for questions here. We'll get right into the questions for Joey. We'll take off with Sterling with KCOU. Go ahead, Sterling.
Thank you. Joey, congrats on the good run tonight. Is there anything that that you or the team noticed from tonight's race that can be applied to the race at the championship race in Phoenix, considering the cars that you all are going to be running are fairly similar?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. It's a quite a bit different than Phoenix because mainly because it attracts surface here. It's so abrasive and tire wear means so much. So your setups are similar in ways, but in other ways, not at all. So, I mean, you learn something every time you go to the racetrack, if that means anything. I don't know how much it's going to help us for Phoenix, but I feel like we got smarter for Richmond. It's not going to mean much for this year, but maybe we got a couple things that may help us.
And your team haven't won a race since before the pandemic break. With a run like tonight, does this boost the morale of the team just a little bit to know that you guys are getting a little bit closer to breaking through and finally getting a win again?
Of course. I don't think we're that far off from it, to be honest with you. You know, last week we finished third and we fought through plenty of adversity. A few weeks before that, we were pretty good. We've been pretty good here recently of clicking off quite a few top fives. You know, so that's something to be very proud of. They're not wins. I know. I know. We haven't won since the pandemic started. And but I also think from where we were 6 to 8 weeks ago to where we are now, I'm very proud of. We've made some big gains and put ourselves in position now to where we're close to winning again. You know, we're running solidly in the top five, and wins will come along eventually when you keep doing that. So, you know, yes, I want to win, but I want to win a championship even more. And right now we got to, you know, take what we can to get there.
Thanks, Joey. Safe travels.
Thanks.
All right. Our next question will come from Jeff Magliocchetti. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Joey. Thank you for joining us. Another good finish for you guys. What's the best piece of advice as a veteran of the sport you can offer to a younger teammate like Ryan Blaney, who's on the cusp of the playoff picture right now and has a bit of a dire situation going into Bristol next week?
Oh, I mean, first off, Blaney's done this long enough and has been in those positions before. So I think you kind of figure out what you need in your own way. You know, Ryan Blaney's different than Joey Logano and different than Brad Keselowski and different than Chase Elliott and the next guy and the next guy. The same thing that works for me is not going to work for him. We're wired differently. We all are. And so I think the biggest thing is you dig deep down inside and you figure out what makes you tick, what makes you have a little bit more. What helps your team along and learning your race team, you know, and how you can fire them up and make sure you get the right pit stops and the right, you know, car for the weekend. You know, you got to level up. That's what the playoffs are about. It's always about trying to find a little bit more and what you did during the regular season will never be enough in the playoffs. And as each round goes and each race goes, that intensity will pick up and you need to figure that out for yourself. Not that I don't want to help him. I mean, I'd help him. I'd tell him what I do, but I'm pretty sure what I do won't work for him.
Fair enough. Thanks, Joey.
Yep.
All right. Our next question will come from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Joey, Brad was saying earlier this week that the short tracks and road courses or the short tracks and restrictor plates are the best for you guys right now. I don't know if you agree, but is it nice to have a solid performance on a short track? You know, there haven't been that many this year that makes you feel like, okay, we should be good for the other short tracks the rest of the way.
Yeah, I feel like if we can get to Phoenix, I feel like we're in a pretty good space. We just got to get there. But I don't feel like we're that far on 550s anymore. I did feel like we were way off. And now I feel like we're maybe not as good as where we are at 750s, but we've made gains, like you said. And I'm speaking more on behalf of the 22 than just Team Penske. They've been pretty good. You know, some one cars or so has been good at 550s. We've been as a 22 a little bit off, but we've made some good gains there as well. So, you know, speaking on the behalf of the 22 only, I'd say, yeah, our strengths are still 750s, but we're getting closer to where we need to be to win one of those 550s again.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. And Jordan Bianchi, did you have a question?
Bob asked my question. Thank you.
Okay. Just wanted to make Good sure. Job, Bob. So, all right. And we're going to take our final question for Joey from Chris Knight. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Joey. I was just wondering if you could talk about, it's been a trying year for everybody, but Joey Logano Foundation stepped up during the playoffs and donated $22,000 each playoff week for a local organization in North Carolina. I was just talking about, wondering if you could talk about the mindset behind that and what the reaction has been like so far.
Yeah, I posted a video on social media this week, and you know, we wanted to continue to do the grants for our foundation. We had such a big year for the foundation with that $1 million fund for the COVID-19 response and relief fund, and it was really good. But at the same time, we didn't want to lose track of what our roots were with the foundation, which is helping children and young adults in times of crisis, and a lot of that is within the foster care community, and organizations that help these kids. And I got it on the mask. It says believe. And I think that word meant so much to me, as a race team, obviously, but when you think of these kids, they just need someone to believe in them. Think about how many people just kind of, put some of these kids to the wayside and don't, think about them as much as they need to. So, for us, we didn't want to forget about these organizations this year, and what, you know, they need more than ever. Right now. And when I talk to these organizations, their government funding is going away. So you can only imagine some of these situations, not only for the organizations, but even more importantly, the kids that just need help. And like I said, someone to believe in them. So our foundation will do that. And all our supporters will be that person to hopefully help. And, you know, we got some great supporters for that reason. And we're going to continue to do that $22,000 a week. To the end of the year.
Thanks, Joey.
Thanks.
All right, Joey. Well, that's all we've got for you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Congratulations on another great finish, and we'll see you at Bristol.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you. We are now joined by Martin Truex Jr., our second place finisher in the number 19 Bass Pro Shops Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. Martin, can you talk us through your run out there and, you know, how you feel getting the second place finish at Richmond?
Yeah, it feels good. You know, obviously, you know, wanted to win, and going for three in a row here would have been pretty cool to be able to make that happen. But just didn't quite have what we needed tonight. You know, Bass Pro Toyota was good, just not quite good enough. So, you know, I thought early in the race, I thought, man, this is going to be a struggle. You know, we started 14th or whatever, and you know, took a little bit of work to get towards the front, and really was never pleased with the way the car was driving, and just continued to battle and work on it all night and fight for every position. And, you know, ended up coming away with some good stage points and a good finish. So, you know, typically when you're off and your car feels and does things you don't want it to do and you can run second, it's, you know, says a lot about your team. So proud of everyone. And, we'll keep digging.
Awesome. Well, we are going to take some questions here from the media. As a friendly reminder for Martin, please click the participants tab and raise your hand, or you can send me a chat. We're going to kick things off with Jeff Magliocchetti. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Martin. Congratulations on another great run. What did you think of the tire and the package setup, especially considering we'll be running this tire at Phoenix?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously was a fan of the old tire here better, but you know, with that being said, I don't know that it really relates to Phoenix a whole lot as far as, you know, what it's going to feel like there. I feel like, you know, the tracks are so different. It's hard to say, but for sure, I think with this tire, you know, obviously the two's got it figured out. He won, I guess he won what Loudon with it. And then here. So, you know, they've been strong, on this tire and this package. So we got a little work to do, but, you know, overall I felt like it was, you know, it didn't lay really any rubber down in the racetrack like we've seen here in the past. And, you know, I think that changed things up quite a bit, especially, you know, for us, obviously. And, you know, again, I was surprised with how bad my car felt that I was still, you know, able to run second. So, I don't know. I like the old one better, but I guess it depends on who you ask.
Understandable. Thanks, Martin. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Dustin Albino. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Martin, good run tonight. Obviously, you didn't get the win that I'm sure you wanted, but why are you so good at Richmond?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think good team, good cars. We've been able to, we've been able to work on the same things as a group for quite a while, and that's really what it takes, I think, at the short tracks. They're so unique, and it takes a certain, kind of approach, driving style, and setup all to go together and mesh together. And I think for us, we've just been able to work on that for years together and continue to tweak on it. And, that's kind of where we're at there. So it's one of those things, I feel like once you find it, you can keep it for a while until so many things change, you have to change up what you're doing and how you approach it. But, so far it's been pretty good here lately.
Thanks, Martin.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll take our next one from Jonathan with the Racing Experts. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan Field with the RaceExperts.com. You've had obviously a lot of, top three finishes, top five finishes this season. Only one win to this point. What do you think it's going to take to reach that next level as you start to get down toward Phoenix?
Yeah, I think we're there, really. I mean, it just depends on the week. I think you look at Darlington last weekend, and, we had the dominant car and just got in a situation where, just something happened that we wish wouldn't, but obviously, had the car to beat. So I'm not, I think we're there. I think we'll just, we just got to keep doing what we're doing.
All right, take our next one from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Martin, you're 38 points up above the cutoff. So do you have no worries during this week, or when you're never not clinched, is there always the dread of something bad happening in the back of your mind?
I don't know. I don't really worry about it too much. I mean, Bob, we're just going to, we're going to go there and race and, see what happens. I mean, you can't, there's no sense in making yourself crazy all week when it's not, it has no bearing on the outcome. So, we're going to work hard to try to be better at Bristol. It's not been the best place for us, but, I'm confident the guys will do a good job and we'll go there and, run the best we can and see what happens.
And have you seen any difference in the three this week? Either just kind of, obviously they're running better, but I don't know whether if you guys as drivers, do you see, is there something that you're seeing that that car is doing that wasn't able to do earlier in the year?
It's got speed. I don't know. Honestly, it's really hard to tell, why. You don't know what's under the, under the car suspension wise and shocks and springs and all those things that matter. And, obviously they've, taken a big, big step forward. So that's cool to see. And, it's really hard to tell. You can't see these things from the outside.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Martin. Well, that's all we've got for you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Congratulations, and we'll see you for Bass Pro Shops Night Race at Bristol.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and congratulations on another win.
Thank you.
Can you just walk us through kind of how it feels heading to Bristol, getting this win, how the number two team is going to approach Bristol?
It's really nice to be locked in, because Bristol is certainly one of those places where things beyond your control happen quite often. But as far as how we're going to approach it, it's a lot like this week. We're going to go try to get a stage win and a race win and get some more playoff points and keep adding to the pile for moving on through the next round. I really feel like the second round is probably the toughest. There's a lot of things you can't control in the second round with the Roval and Talladega. So the more playoff points we can get, the better off we're going to be.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take some questions here from the media. Let's kick things off with Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Jeremy, a lot of talk this season about the 4 and the 11 and how dominant they've been. But if you look at it a little bit closer, on the tracks with a 750 rules package, Penske as a whole, as an organization, has 4 wins this year. Do you guys think you guys are getting overlooked a little bit, and how it sets up for you in the playoffs if you look at Phoenix a little bit? And then also, what makes you guys so good with this rules package?
I don't get too caught up in whether or not we're being overlooked. I mean, those guys have a lot of wins this year, and they've really been the teams to beat, so they should get the attention that they're getting, and it's up to us to do something about that. So I think all of our guys are really good short track racers. They have a short track mm-hmm. pedigree. They're really good at that discipline, and I think like a lot of teams, you know, most of us came from short track backgrounds, so it's something that we take a lot of pride in, running well at the shorter tracks. And you know, we want to run well here just like everybody else does, but and it's not to say we don't work as hard on everything else. It just seems like, you know, our guys are really good at coming up with good mechanical grip setups for these short tracks, and hopefully we can keep improving on them.
All right, we'll take our next question from Stephen Conley. Go ahead, Stephen.
Jeremy, as a whole this season and here in the playoffs, you guys have started with back-to-back third-place finishes or the win now for Brad. Where do you feel that Penske is as a group going, especially going into the second round with those tracks that you mentioned as challenges?
I mean, I feel like our cars are competitive week in, week out. I feel like there's nowhere left on the schedule that we can't go win at. I just look at the schedule and think about things that we can't control. You know, obviously speedways are tough to, there's a lot of things that are out of your hands. The road courses, a lot of times there's things out of your hands, you know, inopportune cautions, things like that, that are less, that we can't do anything about, you know? So I look at those races and think, man, you know, I'd love to win Vegas and not have to worry about either one of those. So, you know, that's my goal right now. That's the number one thing on my mind is, all right, let's go. We got 2 weeks here. Let's go make sure we got everything ready for Vegas and go try to win that one. But there's nowhere in the next 8 races that a Penske car can't win, in my opinion.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Kelly Crandall. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you. Hey, Jeremy. The other day, Brad said he came into the season with the pit crew and team swap, and he really didn't have any expectations. He just wanted to see how it would play out. For you guys, as a leader of this team, going from Ryan, coming over to Brad, what were your expectations? And then I have a follow-up after that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I've always looked at the three drivers at Team Penske, and I feel like they're, from a talent perspective, they're all very equal. I think they all have a boatload of talent. They all have maybe tracks that they're better at than others to each other. But really, the difference in the three of them is just their experience levels. And Brad's obviously, you know, the most experienced. And even when we were working with Ryan, I've used this term a lot, that we tried to leverage Brad's experience. We tried to use his comments about what racetracks we're going to do from practice to the race and what he expected to happen. We used that information when we were working with Ryan. So working with him firsthand, we're just, you know, we're closer to the source, and we've been trying to leverage that, and we've been trying to use his experience and the things that he's learned over time in the course of his career to make our cars better, make our setups better, and help us make better decisions. And, you know, I think that's when you're put in that position, we felt like that was the best approach to it. And, you know, obviously we're happy with the success, and we need to, you know, keep winning races and try to, you know, win this championship.
And the second thing I just wanted to ask was, is this a statement season for your group, in the sense of, again, with when you guys were the 12, it was almost like you guys were a step behind the 2 and the 22. Is this a statement of what your group is capable of, or does it go back to what you just said and it just comes down to driver experience?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I mean, you know, I felt like there were a lot of times, if you look at Ryan's strengths, you know, and I would say that the mile and a halfs are probably his strengths. You know, I felt like going into this year that if we were still working with Ryan, we'd have probably won 3 or 4 races with him. I truly believe that. I do think it's good for our team to have some success and get the credit they deserve. There's a lot of people on this team that have put in a lot over the years, and our core group's been together a long time. And when I look at the 4 and the 11, you know, those guys their teams have been together for a while. And so I think for us, you know, we're kind of coming into our own with Brad, and hopefully we can just keep building and keep making it better.
All right. And we're going to take our next question from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Jeremy, do you even look much at the Bristol car this week, or do you just pretty much focus on Vegas?
No, I mean, we'll look at both. You know, like I said, the playoff points and the race win points that are available are invaluable when it comes to moving from round to round. So just to make sure that if we do catch some bad luck here or there, I mean, we're going to go in there and try to win next week, just like any other race. So, but yeah, we'll certainly get a jump start on looking at the Vegas car, which, you know, everybody at Team Penske's are always working ahead, but no, we're not going to leave anything out there for sure.
And is there any kind of thing comforting in the sense of you have been good on the short tracks, but there haven't been many short tracks, and you come out here and show you haven't lost a beat?
Yeah, I mean, it's good that we were able to, you know, I feel like the whole group, our engineering group, everybody took what we learned at Loudon and you know, sat down with Brad and debriefed and made some really good decisions. And that's Brad. So he's been dying to do that for a couple minutes here. So when you win, you get to bang the gong, I guess. So I think the whole group just really made some good decisions leaving Loudon and you know, okay, we ran really well at Loudon, but what can we do better? And I think that's the key to success. And, you know, moving forward between now and Phoenix, that's, and Martinsville and Bristol, even we need to look at our short track stuff and keep trying to make incremental improvements to it.
All right. Well, it looks like that's all we've got for you, Jeremy. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Another win, and we'll see you at Bristol.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, congratulations on another win. Can you kind of tell us how you feel heading into Bristol now that you have this win? Do you just kind of focus on Vegas? How are you feeling?
No, I'm just going to enjoy tonight. You know, it's hard to win a cup race. These guys are really good. You know, a race like tonight, I think easily gets sold as, there weren't any wrecks. What was going on? These drivers are just good. I mean, these cars all drove so bad with that little bitty spoiler on them, a lot of horsepower. And you had guys with new tires and old tires sliding around, and it's so easy to get in trouble and to wreck. And these drivers are just freaking good, and they didn't do that. And to win a race against drivers that are this good is pretty cool. It's something I'm very proud of, and I'm going to try to soak it up.
Awesome. Well, before you soak it up, we're going to do some questions with the media. And let's kick things off here with Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Brad, looking at the 750 package this year, Penske has more wins this year than the 4 team or the 11 team or any other organization out there. What is it about this package that makes you guys so good? And then I got a follow-up.
I'm not sure, Jordan, but we haven't been nearly as good as we want to be on the 550s. But you're right. The 750 short tracks have been very strong. I'm proud of that. Proud of the effort that's been put into to running so well on those tracks. And, you know, it's a good time to be running well on the 750s because with the new playoff format, you know, there's a lot of those types of races.
That kind of leads into my next question is if you get to Phoenix, that's a 750 track. Are you the favorite over the 4 and the 11?
Oh, shoot. Phoenix is a long ways from now. I got to get there first. So, I'm going to try not to think too far ahead and try to focus on getting there. And if we get there, then we'll bring our A game.
Thank you.
No problem, Jordan.
All right. We'll take our next question from Wayne Epps. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, Brad. You were excited about coming to in this race. So I had high expectations. So just how rewarding is it to see that sort of vindicated now tonight?
Oh, it means a ton to me. Like I said, these are some of the best drivers in the world. And they're not easy to beat. And I knew we were going to have a great car. I knew I'd put a lot of work into what I needed to do as a driver to be really good here and to find a really strong rhythm. And if I could pair those things with an execution race, you know, a race with great execution, I felt like we could win it. And we put all those three together and here we are. So that feels really incredible. It's hard to find the right word for it, to be honest, but I'm going to enjoy it for sure.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right, we'll take our next one from Jeff Magliocchetti. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Brad, congratulations on another win. It wasn't such a great night for your teammate, Ryan Blaney. So as a veteran of this sport and a prior champion, what's the best piece of advice you can offer him going into an elimination race at Bristol next week?
Just go win the damn thing. He's really good at Bristol, and he can do that. So don't think about it. Just go win it.
Thanks, Brad. Congratulations.
No problem.
All right, we'll take our next one from Sterling with KCOU. Go ahead, Sterling.
Thank you. Brad, congrats on the great win tonight. This is the first season that you've had since 2016 where you have 4 race victories. Considering this is the first season that you have in the Cup Series, at least, with your crew chief, Jeremy Bolins, did you think that 4 wins or even a season as great as you're having right now was possible when Jeremy came on at the start of this season?
I put no expectations on the year coming into it other than to run our best and to push myself to be the best driver I can be and be the best leader of the team I can be. So I can't tell you I had a win quota put up. It is nice to have another four-win season, but I hope we don't stop there. The most I've ever had in a year is six, and I'm hope I can get seven.
Thanks, Brent.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Take our next question from Kelly Crandall. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Kelly.
You've spoken so confidently the last couple weeks just coming into the playoffs and your thoughts on what this team could do. Just what's different this year about it? I don't feel like you've ever been this outspoken just about how confident you feel going into the playoffs and what your team can accomplish. So what's different? What feels different about this year?
Well, I like the format. I like the tracks, how they line up. I think they fit me personally really well, and I think they fit this team really well. The team's really coming together and continues to click, and we'll continue to build new knowledge together that we're applying in a great manner. So I just feel like things are coming together, Kelly. I know that's probably hard to make much out of, but it takes so many little pieces to come together to win and to be great. And you know, good. I've ran really good here in the cup level for, you know, probably the last 8 to 10 years, but I've had a couple seasons that were great. And the difference between good to great is just all the tiny little things and the details. And I feel like a lot of those details are going our way.
I would think that, you know, most would say, well, winning or obviously top tens is, you know, that makes things easier in the playoffs. But is it safe to say that the playoffs are different every year? I mean, if it was easy and if you could just apply stuff from year to year, you would advance, you know, a driver would advance year to year. So is it safe to say that, yeah, it's 10 races, it's rounds of three, but every year is different?
Yeah, I mean, every year has its own ebbs and flows, but this year is much different than any of the other years because the tracks are so much different in the playoffs. So I think that's a big deal to me personally, Kelly.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right, our next question will come from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Brad, you said earlier in the week that short tracks were among the best for you and Team Penske. Is there any comfort in kind of backing that up when you haven't had really that many short tracks this year?
Yeah, you know, I was really bummed that when a couple of them got canceled. You know, we canceled this race here in Richmond, and I feel like we canceled something else. I can't remember, but the spring race in Richmond. I knew we'd be good at these types of tracks, so it's kind of like, shoot. And sure enough, we are. But, you know, I'm not complaining because the playoffs have a fair amount of them, and things are coming together for us, Bob.
And I'm curious if you've been surprised by the three car and if there's been anything you've seen in the what Dylan's doing that is different than earlier this year.
No, I think both the RCR cars look really good. The eight car, Tyler Reddick, last run of the race was right in front of me, and he was exceptional. He looked like one of the best cars on the track. So early in the race, I thought the same thing, Austin.
All righty, we're going to take our next question from Stephen Conley. Go ahead, Stephen.
Brad, you've locked into the next round now with the win, and a couple tracks that could cause some problems with Talladega and the Roval. How important is Las Vegas and with your run earlier in the season? It seems like we've run two seasons since our last trip to Las Vegas.
Yes.
Confidence level going into the next round?
I don't feel bad about it. It's nice to have six extra playoff bonus points, but a little buffer. Vegas is a really critical race for us because between Talladega and the Roval, we don't want to have to count on scoring points there. So I sure would love to win Vegas. I don't have to think about it.
Now, you basically called your shot earlier this week that with the Richmond win. Any future prognostications?
1 week at a time. One week at a time.
Thanks, Brad.
No problem.
All righty. We'll take our next one from Dominic with the Racing Experts. Go ahead, Dominic.
All right, thank you. Hey, Brad, so kind of just looking at this whole season, four wins, kind of building off Sterling's question, did you ever think you'd pass Dale Jarrett, Kurt Busch, and now Fireball Roberts on the all-time wins list?
Honestly, I wasn't aware that I passed them.
Yeah, today he passed him to 24th all-time on the wins list.
No kidding. Well, that's great. You know, I try not to stare at the stats because I try not to let them be the motivator. I try to find better motivators than that, but they're certainly cool to hear, and I appreciate you sharing them. I got a long ways to go to catch up to a lot of the greats in the sport. And, you know, I really wish I was winning 5 to 10 races a year because that's what it's going to take to do that. But trying to also be grateful for what I have and to have won 4 races to date this year. But I want to be the best. And to be the best, you know, you got to have those 5 to 10 win seasons consistently. And I've been having the 3 to 4 win seasons. So, I'm pushing really hard to get there, and it's nice, and I'm going to try to be grateful for what I have, and it's nice to break into that top 25, but I want way more than that.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Cole with Popular Speed.
Thanks, Marissa. Hey, Brad, congrats on the win.
Thank you.
Going off Kelly's question earlier about what's different this season for you guys, seems like as of late, you guys have struggled making it past the third round in the playoffs. Are you guys taking any different approaches this year? And are there maybe some areas that Jeremy fills where Paul struggled in the playoffs?
I don't know. I don't know if that's a question I'm going to be able to answer a lot better in, you know, 10 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever the playoffs are when they're over. I don't want to look too far ahead. I really just want to focus one race at a time. And I can't say at the moment there's been any massive change to the strategy that stands out to me.
Thank you, sir.
No problem.
All right, we'll take our next one from Mark Davis. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you, Marissa. Brad, thanks a lot. And I apologize if someone asked you this. I was a little late hopping on, so feel free to ignore me if it's someone did. But can you just talk about momentum and how this kind of propels you into round two, just from this victory tonight here at Richmond?
Well, it's certainly not a bad thing. It allows the me and the team to get a deep breath and focus a little more on Las Vegas rather than being panicked about Bristol. And the 6 bonus points are huge for the next 2 rounds. You know, that's 6 spots on the racetrack. So that should be a good thing.
Thanks, Brad.
No problem.
All right. And our final question for Brad's going to come from Lee Spencer. Go ahead.
Thank you. And congratulations, champ. Just curious. Thanks, did you get an explanation as to why you couldn't get the flag?
No, I haven't yet. I'm assuming that, you know, it's because my bus driver wasn't around or isn't allowed to be inside the track. So I'll have to catch up on that. That's kind of a bummer, but we'll make up for it somehow.
I know that's kind of like one of your little traditions. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, normally my bus driver brings it to the team, but he wasn't able to do so.
Safe travels.
Thanks, Lee.
All right, Brad. Well, that'll do it. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Congratulations on getting another win in the next round of the playoffs, and we'll see you at Bristol.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
This is WFO Radio.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.